Welcome to Native Yoga Toddcast. So happy you are here. My goal with this channel is to bring inspirational speakers to the mic in the field of yoga, massage, body work, and beyond. Follow us at Native Yoga and check us out at nativeyogacenter.com. All right, let's begin. Hello, I'm so happy that you're here. Welcome to Native Yoga Toddcast. Today, my special guest is Dorcas Morungo, and she is located in Nairobi, Kenya, in Africa. And check her out on Instagram. You'll see the link below at Dorcas_Morunga. And also, I have other links that you can find her on different platforms. She is a yoga teacher. She is teaching with the Africa Yoga Project. She has been an incredible inspiration to her local community. So strong, so positive, so focused on sharing yoga. And I love hearing her stories about how yoga has transformed her life and is making a huge impact on her community. Because we are working through the Zoom and through the internet, the sound quality and parts of this conversation get a little bit glitchy. However, it is really easy to hear Dorcas's message loud and clear. So I do apologize for any sound disturbance while you're listening, but just try to be patient. Listen through a couple little glitches and she comes right back in clear and strong. So I really appreciate your support. And this is such an amazing conversation. And I love hearing about how yoga is empowering all of us around the planet. And I hope you enjoy this too. Definitely go follow Dorcas and send her some love. And let's go ahead and begin. I'm so happy to have here today Dorcas Morunga. Dorcas, did I pronounce your last name properly?
Yes, you did. I'm Dorcas Morunga, and my yogic name is Tavita Yoga Mamake. So these are the names I go by in terms of yoga, but my name's Dorcas Morunga from Kenya.
Ah, thank you. And where in Kenya are you?
I am in the capital city, Nairobi.
Nice. And are you born and raised there?
No, I was born and raised in other parts of Kenya, actually the western part of Kenya, a place called Kakamega. So in Kenya, we have around 42 tribes, so different places. So I happen to come from the western part of Kenya.
Amazing. What is your local language, or what language did you grow up speaking?
I grew up speaking Luya, Swahili, and then I had to go to school to learn English.
Excellent. Nice. And how did you come in contact or first learn about yoga?
Well, I was heavyweight after my third born. I am a mother of three boys, 22, 13, and 10. So after my last born, I gained weight, and so I was concerned about that. I had health issues, so I was in my heart looking for something that I would work with as a lifestyle, not just a remedy for losing weight. So I sell bags. I can sell African bags. So in my delivery in an estate, I met a friend who was a yoga chair. So just on the path we crossed, and I said hi, and I reached out to her and was selling my bags like hawking, and then I told her I sell bags, and I liked that she was working out, just walking around the estate. So we had a chit chat together, and then the following day, she booked some bags. So on my way to deliver bags, that's when I knew her better, that she was a yoga teacher from Bolivia. Her name is Jamila.
Ah.
So from there, it was the first time I was hearing about yoga, and this was in 2016.
Nice.
So I had to admire and want to know more about yoga. That was the first time I was getting in contact with yoga. 2015, 2016 there.
Yes. And did she teach you a class? Was that your first experience, was taking a class with her?
First experience, I had that to book a class. It was expensive for me. I could not afford it.
Mm.
So a class here goes for 3,000 shillings, which is $40 or $30 there.
Wow.
So could not afford it. Yeah. An hour, I could not afford it. So I offered to exchange the yoga practice with my African bags.
Nice.
That I was selling. She loved what I was doing with the African bags. So I offered if that could be an exchange for yoga classes. So we came to an agreement for that. And I offered also to stay close to her because I was so eager to lose weight, to learn more, and also I like to go deeper into practices that come to me. So I thought yoga came to me. So I took that advantage and offered myself to exchange classes with the bags that I was making.
Nice. That's so cool. And at this point,
my first yoga class, actually, it was in 2015. That one, I will never forget. It was an hour of power yoga. She started me off with power yoga.
Which is pretty demanding. Did you feel like from that first time, did you feel encouraged, or did it make you feel discouraged? Were you excited about it, or did you think, oh boy, this is going to be really challenging?
It was challenging. I sweat a lot. It was challenging because of the weight, but interesting because it was a new practice, and interesting because I was finding the posture funny.
Yes. That's cool.
Yeah.
Did you from there start to practice on your own, or did you continue to take classes regularly with her?
I began to take classes twice a week with her. Other clients were coming to her house. Actually, she was teaching from her house. So I joined other clients twice a week, and I offered to be her assistant for the time that she was in Kenya, the 3 years she was in Kenya. I offered to be her assistant.
Nice.
So from there, I have been doing yoga.
Nice.
Since then.
Nice. And do you currently teach yoga?
Yes, I teach yoga. I love yoga. I teach yoga. I teach yoga for kids. I teach yoga, power yoga, yin yoga, African yoga. And I'm always learning Kundalini yoga. I'm practicing it for myself. And I was certified the Africa Yoga Project in 2018.
Wow.
When she was leaving, I had to apply to research and see how I can afford to be a teacher to maintain the practice and the weight, because I started losing weight after the first practice. The first year I started losing weight, so I got encouraged, inspired. So I continued with the practice as I wanted it to be a lifestyle. And when she was leaving Kenya to go back to Bolivia after her contract 3 years, I could not sustain the practice myself. So I had to be a teacher to keep healthy, to keep the yogic lifestyle.
Yeah.
And also to inspire others, because now I had I was certified, I had the confidence, I was getting clients, and my community was noticing. So all this empowered me to continue sharing yoga as a volunteer as well. And the scholarship that I got with Africa Yoga Project demanded me to be sharing yoga for free. So I was going for outreaches in schools. I was going for outreaches in orphanages, in homes. And I'm still doing that. I'm still doing the outreaches, and I'm still earning from yoga. Actually, it's the main source of income for me now, also with the bags. But yeah, that is, in summary, my journey with yoga. Very interesting, very inspiring, especially
is.
With my community, when they saw I had lost up to 30 kgs in a year.
Wow.
So they were coming to me wanting to what I was doing. And I loved to post on Facebook. I loved to post on Instagram. This way, the national television people found me, found my posts, and they reached out to know more about it.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was a very interesting time for me to be on national TV sharing a practice that has been very healing for me, has been very transforming for me, has been very inspiring. It was a pleasure just to be featured in national newspapers, like a yoga mama who is living healthy, impacting community, and doing outreaches, you know? So very inspiring journey for me.
That's amazing, Dorcas. I love hearing your story. That's so cool. Are you, like, when you teach currently, are you going to different facilities and teaching, or do you have a location that people come to you to practice?
So I started off with the private yoga that I teach, meeting people in their residential homes. For a couple of years, I was going to gyms, different gyms, also reaching people and schools, going to where the schools are, the students are, and also friends of mine that are yoga teachers also were offering spaces for me to teach groups there. So
nice.
Yeah, I had one place that I was teaching around me where I practice. So yeah,
that's cool.
I have been in spaces teaching yoga, and permanently mine right now is when I have my own small space, also offered with a friend of mine to use it as a shala, and I'm loving it. Yeah,
very nice. Amazing. Did you have a either like spiritual practice or some type of religion or spiritual upbringing that you feel blends well with some of the teachings in yoga? Or what are your thoughts on the spiritual ideas of yoga in relation to your culture?
Well, it was a contradiction. In the beginning, it was very confusing even to me, because I was raised up as a Christian. I practiced Christianity. At some point, I got saved, born again. And I still value that practice. I still value Christianity. I still practice some of the teachings that are there. and adding on to what I now know on in other faiths and other truths. So it was contradicting because Christianity here in Kenya is considered, when you go, you do yoga, you are considered as a Christian went astray.
Yeah.
So yeah. I had also to be chased in church. I was chased in church because I was practicing yoga, because I was so vigorous. I was so, I was coming out loud because it's a new thing that is working for me, and
yeah.
it's changing my understanding of things. It's changing my teachings. That it was kind of balanced to incorporate the two knowledges of Christianity and yoga to be for the betterment of the world and for the betterment of the community and for me as well.
Yes.
So Christianity does here in Kenya, I would say most of Christians think that yoga is a religion in adjusting to just engrave yoga in me because I was facing opposition from my family members because they thought I have left Jesus. My church thought I have left Jesus. Yes. I thought maybe I have left Jesus in the first years.
Yes.
But with consistency of researching and going deeper into the practice, it actually helped me to be a better Christian, if anything else.
Yes.
I am a better Christian now than then, because with the knowledge from yoga, I am finding balance between the truths and the faith. So going back to the stigma that I faced, it really hit me. It really sent me to want to know more about this yoga that I don't know. So I deepened my practice because I was rejected with the church. I was rejected with the family, close family members. My husband was okay with it because he was seeing the changes. He was seeing weight, being more happier, empowered me emotionally.
Yes. That's amazing.
In a better state, emotional beneficiary of this. So,
uh-oh, Dorcas, we're getting a little bit of glitching.
Yes.
We're getting a little bit of glitchy from the Zoom, from the internet. I'm so sorry. I apologize. I lost a little bit of the last sentence that you said. Can you repeat the last sentence you said, please?
Yes. I said I found balance with Christianity and yoga because of benefits. Fitting from yoga, losing weight, being emotionally stable,
yes,
and empowering my faith as well.
Yes.
So my biggest support was my family, my close family members who supported, who saw the benefit, and that was my husband.
That's amazing, Dorcas. I'm so happy to hear that. I'm curious, are you receiving different feedback now? Do you feel like because you stayed true to what you were feeling and appreciating and what you were finding the benefits of practicing yoga were bringing you, do you feel like that now that people are watching you and because you're able to stay so strong for so long that they're also willing to maybe change their opinion about how yoga could be bad and that now they see it's good?
Yes, absolutely. I would have loved to. I would love to talk about that because it is a journey of now 7 years, and the people who rejected me, the church, it was just a community church here. The friends, the neighbors who were doubting my practice by then, after me being featured on national television, they saw the impact that I was doing to the community around. And they started coming to ask more about, to want to know more about this practice of yoga. They are inquiring even up to now. The family members came around. You know, they saw me more livelier. They saw me being recognized and acknowledged with other people. So they saw the benefit that it was yoga was added to my life and to the people around me. They came along. And I offer classes for my family. I offer classes for members of church. We used to go with them. There's still ladies, and they would like to lose weight. They would like to look. They would like to on their emotional part as well. And yeah, do share the practice if they come. I don't hold it in my heart that they resented it or they rejected it. I get empowered when they come. Yoga is not a religion, but a practice to enhance whatever faith anyone is choosing, whatever path anyone is choosing. Yeah, yes. So right now I am at peace with the community and all.
You know, I'm so excited to hear that, because I have had a similar sort of experience, different but similar, in that I grew up in the Christian faith. And I remember when my dad and I started taking, this is when I was a kid, Taekwondo, which is a type of karate. And I remember that we were told that we should not take karate because it was from the East, and anything from the East, you know, or outside of that the Christian tradition was not allowed. And so I remember at that point thinking, well, this is so interesting. I don't understand, you know, but, you know, it's really, I'm so happy to hear your story, because it does seem something that kind of happens universally around the planet a little bit. If we, you know, are learning yoga and then people feel like it doesn't fit with their religion. I'm so happy to hear that you're able to stay really strong, and that people now are seeing you in a new light. That's really cool, Dorcas.
I'm really glad that yoga came my way, and I'm really glad I stood strong. Yes. It was the urge to know why are they rejected me. I don't like to reject something without knowing. Or going deeper to understand why I don't really act on others' opinion. That drives me more into research. That drives me more into wanting to act from a point of knowledge or deeper understanding. And I thank them. I thank them for that, because if it wasn't for that, maybe I wouldn't have gone deeper as I am right now.
Yes.
So. And still deepening. So that's a daily practice.
Yes, that's a great point. I like that you see it that way. It's a good point. Like having that appreciation. Like, thank you for giving me that little bit of challenge, because now I'm more. I love it even more. That's really cool. Can you explain? Can you explain a little bit about what the Africa Yoga Project is and who started it?
A project that was founded by Paige Ellison. Paige Ellison was visiting Kenya, I think in 2007, and just having a normal safari. And she noticed some youths just doing headstand and handstands as acrobats. So she went to them and she said, "Oh, I can also do this, what you're doing. What do you call it?" So they were calling it acrobatic moves, and Paige was calling it yoga. So she also showed them she can do this. So they also followed Paige, wanting to know more of how she knew the acrobatic stance, the headstand, the handstand, and the postures they were doing. So after some time, Paige just realized that the need of introducing yoga in Africa or Kenya was with the youth pushing her to bring it. So she came by and she founded Africa Yoga Project, a project that was targeting the youths to empower them and to help them even have income.
Yes. Yes.
It. So she started it as a non-profit organization, which still is. And she, up to now, has been offering trainings, yoga teacher trainings. And up to now, we have 400 yoga teachers that she has all over Africa, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, Tanzania.
Wow.
Africa countries, there is a representative of the youth that got scholarships to be trained in power yoga.
Nice.
So through this project is where I found my scholarship to be trained as a yoga teacher.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. That's amazing.
It is amazing. I love that Africa Yoga Project has really impacted mostly the youths, because it was targeting the youths and it was empowering them and making sure it gives out enough knowledge to make them want to go out and teach. Right now we have also teachers, alumni, teaching all over the world, especially in the US, in Germany, in Kenya, everywhere. Right now, most of the teachers are the youths that have come through Africa Yoga Project.
Amazing. That's so cool to hear about. Are you in the process of leading yoga teacher trainings as well? Have you embarked on that aspect of it?
It is in my vision plan, long-term vision plan, because it needs resources, it needs partnership, it needs, I need to empower myself to a point whereby I would offer scholarships, because it is expensive here to run a training, a yoga teacher training.
Yes.
So this things that make me admire Africa Yoga Project, because it has to be global. It has to be in cooperation. Singly myself, I would love to do it myself to the end, but I like the power of unity, the power of coming together to deliver to community. That is what I think I would do in such a scenario.
Yeah, very cool. I've never had a chance to go to Kenya or Nairobi. Can you tell me what Nairobi is like? Can you explain it a little bit? Like, any details? I'm so curious.
Yeah, Nairobi is the capital city of Kenya. Kenya is in Africa, and Nairobi is a beautiful city. Kenya is a beautiful country whereby, as you know, many athletes come from Kenya. You also know about Obama coming from Kenya.
Yes.
The roots running down to Kenya. What I can really be proud of my country is that it's a country that has potential to sustain itself through its agricultural produce. It's also a country that is still evolving and fast, and it has beautiful weather. We have a wildlife in the city of Nairobi. We have game parks that attract tourists. We have beautiful weather that sometimes is unpredictable, but it is manageable.
Yeah.
We also it's a country that allows different types of we are a free country.
Yes.
I think you are welcome. You are welcome to Kenya.
Thank you, Dorcas. I want to come visit. I really do. I really want to see Kenya.
Please.
I really want to see it.
Yeah.
That would be so amazing. Can you tell me if any of the listeners or viewers were interested in, say, getting one of the handbags that you make? How do you mail them? Do you sell them? Do you have a website that you sell them on? Do you have any of that going where that's possible?
Yes.
Cool. Maybe it cut out. Hold on one second.
I don't have a website. I just have a...
I'm sorry. I apologize, Dorcas. We had a little bit of a glitch. Did you say you don't have a website, or you do have a website?
For now.
Dorcas, I'm so...
I use for now. I'm working with the yoga. Get my yoga services when you visit Kenya.
Oh man, Dorcas, our connection just got so disrupted there for a second. So I think you were talking, and I could not hear anything. I'm so sorry. The last part that I heard up to was when I just asked the question about if you had a website, and then I did not hear anything. So I'm going to be quiet. And let's see if it works a little better this time. Can you answer that question again?
I have a Facebook page for my bags. It's known as The Designs for Distinct Stuff.
Got it. Nice. I did hear that. Yay. What I will do, Dorcas, too,
and
is...
for my yoga...
Yeah.
Sorry?
No, I was going to say what
I was just giving out a web.
Oh, thank you. Well, what I'll do, Dorcas, is I'm going to publish the link for your pages so that when people listen, they can click and they'll be able to find you really easy.
Yeah.
Yay. Thank you.
Yeah. They can also find me for yoga. For yoga now, I am with the Yoga Experience Africa. On that page, that website, they can easily find my yoga services.
Nice. Okay, awesome. I will definitely have that in the link so everybody listening can very easily find you. Dorcas, I'm curious, when you mentioned different styles of yoga, you said that you enjoy power yoga, Indian yoga, and then you use the term African yoga. Is there like a distinction of what you're referencing when you say Africa yoga or African yoga?
Yes, there is a distinction. African yoga, I was certified last year, is more related to Kemetic yoga that came from or was found in Egypt. So African yoga is a practice that is slightly different from power yoga because it evolved with the River Nile. So it was discovered from Egypt, following the River Nile, and I'm glad it found me. It is founded by Pablo Imani, and I took the training and was certified. And I love the different, the difference, the distinction, the difference between power yoga and other yogas with African yoga. I relate with the movements. It's African yoga is more of movement, and I can relate to some of those and going with the theory behind that. It's different from power yoga of Baron Dis, but I bring them to, I work with them to enhance my practice. I work with them for diversity. I work with them for connection. I work with them all types of yogas to be able to meet my clients where they are.
Yeah.
So that is the slight difference.
Yes, that's cool. Thank you so much for mentioning that. I had heard that there was the Egyptian style yoga, but I wasn't clear about that. So I appreciate you explaining that to me. When you have, like, maybe somebody says to you, Dorcas, there's no way I can do yoga. I'm not flexible enough, or I just don't think I can do it. How do you answer them?
Well, I meet my clients there because I was met where I was in the beginning.
Yeah.
I was heavyweight, couldn't move, couldn't finish 1 hour as faster or as easy. So immediately somebody says that it is, I see myself in them. So I teach from experience. I meet them where they are. If they have injuries, I have empowered my practice to be able to work with people where they are. And I believe that with this build up practices, most of the time when I go to residential houses, before that I can introduce a sequence to them, I start to see what they can do and support them to do it, or recommend some other practices to help them to be able to do that. I have many more heavyweight clients, and they can't even sometimes finish a sun salutation. I'm challenged to see them doing that. So it becomes my challenge to research on how I can support my clients and meet them emotionally, physically, where they are. And it's really even empowering my practices, meeting different people with different challenges. I just find myself flowing to want to encourage them to be consistent with the practice. So I offer them a practice that I compile classes that I know my client, this client will be able to do this. So I work very hard to compile classes to suit my clients and meet them where they are.
Nice.
And I love it. I think that's the most part that I love.
I really appreciate your enthusiasm, because it is so amazing to teach yoga. So I love hearing about what you're doing there. And I love that you're saying that you meet your clients right where they are and just like see what they're doing and then try to figure a way to just like build a little bit off of what they can do. That's a really cool approach. That makes perfect sense. That's awesome, Dorcas.
I believe yoga is not a competitive practice.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I put it out to my clients, that we are not in competition with anyone, but just to better ourselves, to be better than yesterday.
Yes.
So I do keep records with them, and I do take them photos where they started and the growth they are making. And it's amazing to see me keeping consistent clients for years.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that. Love that.
Nice. Did your husband and your sons, have they begun practice with you too?
We just practice as a something that connects us as a family once a week. I don't like to impose my knowledge on them or my practice on them. I want them to come to me volunteering And they know that every Sunday they can do yoga with me. I invite them. I actually invite them. I don't impose what I know. Though I am tempted to impose, because sometimes I see the going off balance there and there. But according to how I have empowered myself, I don't have to impose my knowledge to anyone, not even my family members. So it is more powerful when they come to me to do it. So as a family, it is a family activity. Every Sunday we do it. If they want to join me in my only daily practices, my younger one is the one who really joins me in my everyday, like 20 minutes before I go to work. That's he loves it. My husband, no, he just considers this as a job
yeah.
for me.
Yeah.
So I try to find balance and share maybe the emotional part of yoga, the yoga off mat knowledge with him. If physical is not working with him, I'm more into yoga off mat with him. Yes. So with family, actually.
Yes.
So yeah, don't impose knowledge on anyone.
Great answer, Dorcas. I agree with you 100%. Do you find that, do you incorporate the Sanskrit terms into your classes? Do you, like, say for triangle, do you use the words Uttita Trikonasana? Or because you want to maybe help people that feel fearful about, is this a religion or is this something that I, because I don't understand it, maybe it's going to conflict with me. Do you try to secularize it? Or when you teach, is it different for every person? Like you meet with someone and if you feel like they won't respond well to using the different terminology, that you change it to make it sound more just down to earth?
Like I mentioned before, there is already stigma on yoga and religion. So yeah. I am very careful. In the class, I'm asking if they're okay to chant. If they are not okay, I don't chant.
Yeah.
Asanas direct. I incorporate Sanskrit to for a while and they understand this. Meet them where they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
These words, because it will raise questions. Maybe I'm not ready. Maybe they are not ready
to
go deeper and understand where I am. So if they are not okay with anything, and I'm also cautious and in respect with their faith,
yes,
in, like with Muslims, I don't chant
yes.
to them
yes.
because I don't know about their beliefs. And for somebody to reach a point whereby they are open to chant, they must understand what they are chanting. So I plan workshops that for people who want to deepen their understanding on matters yoga, I would explain to them what chanting om means. I would explain what the sounds mean. And the Sanskrit, it doesn't work for a beginner because it's creating more confusion.
Yeah.
So as I go with them and build consistency, with the time, I start into or out of the blue, I would mention in the class and then I will explain this means this. So even me, it took me a journey to learn the Sanskrit and I'm still learning the Sanskrit. I don't teach throughout with Sanskrit. Yeah. So if I'm still learning it, I'm not able to share from a point of complete 100% knowledge.
Yeah.
So I would want to go with them step by step and see their growth and add on that.
Great answer. Yeah, wise approach. I agree with you on that. Do you feel like it's going to just keep growing in Africa? Do you feel like yoga is just going to keep expanding and getting busier? We had here in the United States, definitely feels like there was a point where it was so popular, and then sometimes it feels like maybe it's not as popular as it was. And but I don't really know what the numbers are, and I don't really know exactly if, you know, where all that is. But is your general feeling that it is gaining popularity in Africa?
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah.
Very much.
Yeah.
Especially now that we have a platform where you can find African teachers all over the world.
Yeah.
If you visit Ghana, you just check the website from Yoga Experience Africa and you get a teacher from Ghana. Everywhere all over the world. If you want to be taught a class with me and you're visiting Kenya, you can always reach me easily.
Yeah.
So I think it's gaining popularity. It's also gaining roots, not only popularity, because people are, teachers are, African teachers are now deepening the practice to stay, not only for commercial purposes or just practicing. Self-practice is now a lifestyle. It's
yeah.
becoming a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle for me.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm sharing from a comfortable space because I know I just want to impact one.
Yeah.
Another teacher wants to impact one
yeah.
to the fullest, you know.
Yeah.
So once they start coming to inquire more, they stick with the practice and they share as well. And they invite others to learn. And I got the platform to invite and share light to Matters Yoga when I got to the television. I
yeah.
really shared my heart out because I took it as a national
yeah.
outreach to all over the world, all over Kenya, people to understand this practice of bettering ourselves. So I take every chance I have to share yoga, either physically or on other levels. So I think it's going to, not only to be popular, but it's going to be a lifestyle.
Yes. I like it. I love it.
Yeah.
That's so cool, Dorcas. I'm curious, was COVID a difficult time? I know it's difficult for everybody all over the world. How did you navigate all that with teaching? Was there severe lockdown scenarios in Kenya, or was it not? I am unaware. Can you help me understand?
Yes, there was a lockdown, just like any other places in the world.
Yeah.
And it really affected yoga. And this is where Africa Yoga Project was affected, because it had to close down. And since it is operating with donations and also practitioners coming in to offer workshops to the academians that were in the project at that time, it was a challenge. So we had to learn to teach online. I had to lose clients because I couldn't go to them in person. So there was a lot of shalas closing down in Kenya because of the lockdown, because of the contact, body contact. So we adjusted to online teaching, which I'm still teaching. And I'm glad I had to tap into that knowledge. I remember that was my first time to teach online
yeah.
during COVID.
Yeah.
And now I'm teaching at Nest Home, an orphanage, a home that cares and rescues kids that are abused. I have been teaching them, volunteering there.
Wow.
And during COVID, they could not understand why I was not going there. So I had to switch online to keep in touch with the practice with them. And up to now, I still teach. And that is one thing COVID, I would say, positive
yeah.
brought to me,
yeah.
that I was able to switch and teach online for the first time and still going. So that really was empowering from COVID. Staying with the positives, also COVID empowered me to know more of the queuing, because when I was practicing online, when I was practicing in person, I used to offer adjustment. In power yoga, we are taught about adjusting and the hands on assist in some postures.
Yeah.
So during COVID, I was not able to give hands-on assist. So I empowered myself in cueing the postures to the right positions. So that is another plus of COVID. Looking for the negative part of the COVID, which I really don't like to tap into it, it was the financial part that I lost clients. They didn't come back. Most of them relocated to other countries. But yeah, I dwell on positives that we survived, those that survived. It's unfortunate for those that couldn't make it.
Yeah.
But we are here. We are here to tell the story, the positive ones I stick.
Yes, I agree. We need to stay on the positive sides. And I had a similar experience too, Dorcas. I'm so happy to hear what you're saying. I had a similar thing. I didn't teach online before that. And also the improvement of verbal cueing became stronger because of the inability to just maybe move somebody from here to there to help explain an idea. So I agree with you. Those are some of the positive elements. So I love hearing, you know, that there, you know, we are on different sides of the world, but kind of experiencing a similar type of thing.
Yeah, true. COVID was uniting.
It was uniting. Yeah, good point. Good point. What is like, what is your biggest obstacle right now with teaching yoga? What do you think is the big obstacle? Maybe there isn't. Maybe you have no obstacle.
Well,
I'm just curious.
Maybe I block it out.
Say again, Dorcas. Yeah. I'm sorry. Say that again.
I said maybe I'm blocking the obstacles. I'm not allowing myself to see the obstacles. But it's a challenge.
Yeah, good point. Good answer.
Speak for me, and I would say the challenge right now is going to people's residence because they are not able to come to the group class because of either they are beginners or maybe they are heavyweight and they can't connect or relate with the group. The energy of the group is very hyper. Maybe people who have been mostly group classes, people are flowing. People understand from word of mouth.
Yeah.
But in beginners, I have a lots of beginners. Curiosity is coming my side. I have to practice and teach because most of the beginners don't know the names of the postures. It's the first time they are doing yoga. So I think my challenge, I would want a place whereby people would come to me and consult and get private practices, just like a one-stop yoga shala, where you can get everything in one place. You get meditation, you get asanas, practices, different types of yoga in one place. For me, that would be a plus. I choose not to see any challenge. I choose to find options this time.
I love that. I don't want to see challenge. I just look for options. I love it. Man, Dorcas, you have such a great outlook on life. I love your positivity. It's infectious. I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
I really hope that I can have you back on the podcast and or maybe in some way I can just help collaborate in any way possible to just keep everybody getting really excited about yoga. And I will have all of the links for your sites so that people can find you and help support. And I'm curious, just in closing for our discussion, and also, sorry, I just really want to thank you, Dorcas, because I made a mistake with my time and you were so you know, patient in waiting for me to get set up today. So thank you so much. I do apologize. Can you, in closing, do you have any thoughts or something else that you would like to share? I feel like you're so positive and we can pick up on that, and that's more than enough and you don't have to add any more. But is there anything that you would like to leave myself and the listener with today?
I would like to first thank you for this opportunity to be able to share my opinion and my journey with yoga. I'm so grateful. We have never met, and I guess online has connected us, and I'm grateful that the impact of yoga is being seen all over the world. That's why you're able to reach out, and I'm so grateful for that. And one thing that I would like to leave parting with is deepen any practice that you find helpful to you. Use it as a tool to help yourself. It's very powerful to know that you have tools to go to in terms of helping yourself at any situation. I also would want to invite people, to those who have never tried yoga, to try yoga with an open mind, an open approach, just for bettering themselves. And the journey of yoga for me, as it has been transforming, I invite those who are in need of transforming their lives to want to try yoga. If you are in need of transforming your life, try different things with an open mind and deepen that practice for yourself and for people around us, for the betterment of the world. Yes. For the goal is one. That's what I love. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dorcas. That was amazing. Native Yoga Toddcast is produced by myself. The theme music is dreamed up by Bryce Allen. If you like this show, let me know. If there's room for improvement, I want to hear that too. We are curious to know what you think and what you want more of, what I can improve. And if you have ideas for future guests or topics, please send us your thoughts to info@nativeyogacenter. You can find us at nativeyogacenter.com. And hey, if you did like this episode, share it with your friends, rate it and review. And join us next time.